Message today, how to be a good provider. Now, I'm glad you're here this morning. You know, many would think that our message today is primarily for the men, and it's definitely for the men. However, the principles that we're going to deal with here are for everyone, especially those who are in their role as the head of their household, which in our day isn't just limited to men anymore, is it? Now, Elizabeth, is it just men anymore? No, it's not. It's not. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." These are strong words. At least, as a matter of fact, after she reviewed this message, which is our normal weekly procedure, she texted me. She said, "This is a strong message." I didn't change it, by the way. So I'm tough. Are you tough enough to take a strong message,
amen,
fellas, especially you guys? There are some who go too far, and they actually harm their loved ones by providing too much at times. Others provide not enough. Others provide plenty of money, but little spiritual guidance. Others read their Bibles and go to church, but they still struggle financially. Each of us is going to have to determine that right balance for ourselves. And I certainly wish you the best as you do. Some rely on the government to provide for them. And I thank God that we live in a country where there is help for those who truly need it, though far too many often abuse that system. God is holding us responsible for being that good provider that every family needs. If you're in a position as the head of your household, you're accountable to God to be a good provider for your household. He's holding you responsible. The things that I'm about to share with you, they're things that I needed to learn early on when I was a young man. But sadly, I didn't learn those things early on. I didn't have anyone to teach me these things. I didn't learn them until much later. I want to be clear about this. I put down the word, "Let me be clear." I'm afraid I would sound like Barack Obama if I said that, but the basic principles that we're going to discuss today, they're not new. These principles are timeless principles, and they are essential principles. And when I say essential, I mean exactly that. A fair percentage of our audience today is young to middle-aged adults. And by the way, half of 70 is 35. I know nobody wants to consider themselves as middle-aged, but, you know, half of 70 is still 35, all right? You know, you are in the process of raising your children and building your lives, your futures. To you especially, you will not succeed in being a good provider without applying these principles that we're going to discuss today. I can guarantee you from the Word of God, if you do not apply these principles, you're not going to be a good provider for your family. Our text today is in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5 through 9. And I want you to just listen really hard if you're in that role as a head of a household. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to your flesh." Now, that's talking about your boss at work. Okay, that's exactly who that's talking about. "With fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him." There's a wide discrepancy among Christians when it comes to material blessings, like making enough money and the management of those various resources with which God entrusts us. Most of you already know that all good things come to us from above. Are you aware of that?
Amen.
Are we on the same page with that? All the good things, the blessings of health, wealth, prosperity, all of those things come from God. They come from above. It might seem that God loves some of us more than others, because when we look around, we see such discrepancies in those particular areas. Does it seem to you that God loves some of his children maybe more than he loves you sometimes? Now, we just read the answer to that. It was in verse number 9. It said, neither is there respect of persons with him. I do not believe that God loves some of his children more than others, nor that he favors some of his children above others. Now, I understand that there are certain difficult, special circumstances that are sometimes allowed or even chosen for us by the Lord, by his will. Things like disabilities, things like times of testing or preparation for God's calling in our lives. Many other things are considered special circumstances. But other than these exceptions, when God is doing something special, and it may seem like a punishment or a disadvantage of some sort, but let me tell you something about God. He wants nothing but the best for you if you're his child. I can assure you that. Other than these exceptions, it's very likely that the reasons for most of these economic discrepancies lie with us. It's you and it's me that are making the difference. God didn't choose you to be poor. He didn't choose you to have financial problems. That's not something that he designed. Did you know that most of the top givers in any church give more than they used to make before they learned to be generous givers? Did you realize that? You realize that? Think about that. I would venture to say that the top 20% of givers give more than the bottom 20% make. And that's, it's pretty normal. The absence of generosity is going to hold you back, and it's going to void your life of many promises from God. Thus, you really need to learn to become a cheerful and generous giver. You're going to have to do that. However, that said, today's message is not about giving at all. Today's message, and some of you sighed of relief when I just said that. I heard it up here. Today's message is about the principles that enable you to have substantial resources from which to give. Now, that made some of you smile a little bit more. I'm going to share a few of the most essential principles. Nothing near all of them, nothing like the whole package, but hopefully enough to get you started in the right direction. Here's principle number 1. Are you ready, fellas? Ladies? Here you go. You absolutely must learn to see yourself as a servant. You must learn to see yourself as a servant. How do you see yourself? Particularly in the workplace. Do you see yourself there as a servant? Ephesians 6 and 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Do you see yourself as a servant, or do you see yourself more as an equal to the boss, or maybe as an equal to the customer? By the way, if you're in business, the customer is your boss. Or maybe a little better than them. Maybe you think you're a little smarter, you know a little more. There are a lot of employees out there who think they know more than their boss does. And that may well be true. But be careful. Matthew 10:24, Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. You need to be really careful about that. There are a lot of ways in which you are equal to your boss or to your customers, but not in that for which you are getting paid. You are not equal to your boss or your customer in that area for which you're getting paid. Your job, your position is that of a servant. And you are to provide whatever product or service you agreed to provide on time, every time, the way the one writes your check wants it done. Regardless of how much you think you know about it, or how much better at it you think you may be than that person. And you may even be better at it than that person. You may know more than that person. But that doesn't change the position you're in. This is what servants do. And good servants do it with fear and trembling. This is where the message gets strong. This is one of the biggest life lessons you're ever going to learn. You young men that are out there working jobs, running businesses, you ladies are in the same type of a situation. You need to get a hold of this, and you need to take it to heart, and you need to make it a part of who you are. Here's an illustration. I've used this before, but this one bears using again. Let's say you are one of five people working at a car wash. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I got a way better job than a car wash. I was working a car wash when I was a teenager." Well, let's say you're one of five people working at a car wash. You receive word that the boss is buying a new automated system. He's going to lay off four of you, and he's going to double the wages of the one that he chooses to keep. And in order to make his choice, here's what the boss is going to do. He's going to give each of you a dirty car to personally detail, and the best job gets the new position with the double pay. Now, that sounds like a pretty fair arrangement. If you really wanted that new position, you would attack every detail of cleaning that car with all of the expertise that you have, and you would probably read up on a few things along the way to make sure that you were the best you could possibly be. You would clean the fender wells and the grill and the mats and under the mats and the glass and the edges of the doors, and you would double check everything you did, and then you would double check it again. You would probably make yourself a personal checklist to make sure that you didn't miss anything. That car you did would be the best one he's ever seen. You would handle it, and you would handle every detail of the project with fear and trembling, as though your entire livelihood depended on it, because it does. This is how most successful people in the world address everything that they do. They know that success is in the details. The Lord taught me this a long time ago, and I sure hope you'll get a hold of it. They treat everything, every detail, as though the whole project, the whole living, the whole income depended on how that one thing is done. And then they teach those under them to do the same. You may not have gone to work this past week and dealt with what your tasks were with fear and trembling, but I strongly advise you to do so this coming week. Amen. The next principle I want you to see is that you must understand who you're really working for. You may work in a plant or in a small business or at a desk in front of a computer or that car wash or any number of places. You might even run a mechanic shop. Who knows? But you Christians, your boss is the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. We are really serving the Lord. You may think it's your customer or your boss or the company or whatever, but that's not how it is for us. Verse 5 of our text, do you believe God's word or not? Verse 5 of our text says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ." Verse 6 says, "Do it as the servants of Christ." doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7 says, do it as unto the Lord and not to men. Some of you say you don't like your boss. Well, you'd better fix that, because your real boss is the Lord.
Amen. Come on.
You better learn to like your boss. It is the Lord that we serve when we go to work. And what most do not understand, it is also, it's not the company, it's not the boss, and it's not the customer. It is the Lord who sets our rate of pay. That's why I said earlier, the problem with this giant discrepancy of income among Christian men and women is because of what we're doing and how we're doing it, not because the Lord chose to keep some of us poor. It is the Lord who sets our rate of pay. Go back and read verse 8. You said you believe the Bible. Listen to what it says. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive, what? Of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The check may come through the boss or through the company, but it comes from who?
God. The Lord.
It comes from the Lord. Luke 6:38, one of my favorite verses. One of the first verses I just adopted as my life plan, life verse when I was first saved. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet or give it out, withal it shall be measured to you again. I have come to understand that the measure with which God releases his blessings to us is determined primarily by our attitude as a servant. Your attitude as a servant is going to be the determining factor when God sets the rate of pay for you and for your family. Someone said once that your attitude determines your altitude. I thought that was pretty wise. I kind of adopted that thing. Third principle. I want you to look at some of these attitude characteristics that someone has who's one with a servant's heart. In addition to what we've already learned, serving with fear and trembling. Verse 5 says that he serves, what's it say? In singleness of heart. You were right, honey. It is a strong message. You said you could take it, fellas. You still say that?
Yes,
sir. Huh? Amen. Well, some of you, and this amen's getting weak. And singleness of heart means that when you go to work, that you actually focus on your job. That thing you're getting paid to do. That's what you do when you go to work. I don't want a guy handling a nail gun that's got enough power to drive a nail from his front through his heart and lodge in his backbone, thinking about what he's going to do tomorrow and what he did last night and what he's going to do this weekend. I don't want him climbing a ladder to the second story, thinking about what he's going to do next weekend. Number one, because I'm paying for the material that he's going to waste. And two, because I want him to go home at the end of the day in one piece. You want to go home at the end of the day in one piece?
Yes.
Focus on what you're getting paid to do. You know, there's a lot of folks that love the Lord and have gone to work and put their Bible right there on their desk. And that's very commendable in some ways. But you better be reading it on break and not when you're supposed to be doing what you're being paid to do. Amen?
Amen.
In singleness of heart, doing what you're there to do. Your job is to do your job well and to give it your full and undivided attention. The next thing is verse number 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Eye service is ophthalmodulia. I don't want to even try to pronounce that again. And good luck trying to pronounce it yourself. You know what it means, though? Eye service. Let me read the definition. It says, that is, that needs watching. Somebody who needs watching. Don't be somebody who needs watching. Why would you have to be somebody that needs watching? You know, there's a kind of a standing joke on my crews. I'll drive up on a job and apologize to them because I forgot to call ahead so that I could catch them working. And they say, ha ha, but they don't seem to get the real point of that. Your service should be the same whether the boss is there watching or whether he is gone. You need to remember, Christian, your boss is never gone. And he's always watching. Don't be someone who serves with eye service. Now that next one is, don't be a men pleaser. Wait a minute, you said I was supposed to please the boss. That's not what that means. I tried to come up with a good description without being crude that you would understand. I chose apple polisher. There are other terms that I'm not going to use today that I think you'd understand very clearly. You do your job. You do it well. You do it right because you're serving the Lord. Fair enough? Verse 7 says, with goodwill doing service. This is doing your job kindly and gladly with the best interest of your employer or your customer at heart. Doing your job with a performance level to give it the best your boss could possibly have any right to expect. I've often been in the presence of various service workers who obviously did not want to be there doing what they were doing. You ever run into people like that at the store? It's obvious. They didn't want to be there. And they didn't want to be talking to you. And they sure didn't have your best interests at heart. You've seen those whose attitude was as though they thought themselves somehow above the job that they were having to do. There's a lot of people out there with various jobs who are thinking, I deserve better than this. You may be one of them. If you're one of those people that thinks you deserve better, you have basically two choices. Here's your two choices. You could pray and ask God to give you what you really deserve. How about that? You want to do that? No takers? Or you could just go about being worth far more than you're getting paid. And see what your real boss does with that. Every person in this room that's working a job ought to go to that job tomorrow morning and be worth more than you're getting paid. Amen? Is this what God is telling us, or am I just reading all this into it and making stuff up? What's going on here? You're reading the same stuff I am. What are you getting from it? My job is to be worth more than I'm getting paid. Or doing my best to try to get there, for sure. And I know what my real boss has done with that attitude over the years since I've learned these principles. He's raised the pay rate lots and lots of times. Perhaps the most important aspect of your attitude is the attitude of gratitude. Are you thankful to have the job that you've got? Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And back in verse 15 it says, and be ye thankful. Thankful. Does your attitude reflect genuine gratitude? Or does this aspect of your attitude need an attitude adjustment? You ever had an attitude adjustment? Yeah. All right. I'm seeing now that most of you have enjoyed just about as much as this as you can stand. Well, Ray will be preaching in a week or so, and Justin will be back, and so you won't have to take off this permanently, okay? In the outset of today's message, I asked you if you considered yourself to be equal with your boss. I said that there were ways in which you are equal, but not in that for which you are getting paid. One of those ways that you are equal, I'm talking about your physical boss there at the job, is that you're both sinners, and thus both deserve to be cast into a devil's hell and be forgotten about for all eternity if God gave you what you deserved. If you are a Christian, it means that Jesus not only loved you enough to die in your place, it means that he sought you, he came and found you, and he bought you back from your sin with his own blood. It means that he owns you, and he owns me. I am bought and paid for. He is my master, and I am his servant.
Amen.
Andrew and I were talking about this earlier this last week. Sometimes you'll see on a truck going down the road, owned and operated by. You ever see that on a truck? The owner-operators out there? Well, Jesus is my owner. But we need him also to be the operator. We need him to drive the truck. We need him to handle the steering. And I want you to know I'm totally okay with that. Boy, this is not politically correct, but if you go look up that word servant and some of the aspects in which we're reading it, you're going to find the word slave there. Oh, that's a game changer, isn't it? You mean God wants me to be a slave? Let me tell you something. I am overjoyed to get to be a slave, a servant, in every aspect to my Lord and Master Jesus Christ. If you're not being rewarded the way you would like to be, it is just possible that the reason that you don't get rewarded or promoted or recognized like you want to is sadly that you actually do serve your employer the same way that you serve Jesus. I know, it's strong. I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm not, so I won't lie. We need to know this. We need to understand this. Serving Jesus is our vocation. Whatever we do to pay expenses is what we do to pay expenses. But our vocation, that for which we are on this planet, is to serve Jesus Christ. Because we have been bought with a price, and we are not our own. And we are not to be the servants of men, but the servants of the Lord. What would your church be like? What would Lighthouse be like if every member served the Lord to the exact same level that you do? What about your desire to serve the Lord? Does your desire to serve Jesus rise to the level of someone who is truly grateful that he saved you from your sins? We have all these excuses why we don't serve the Lord, why we don't put him in first priority, why we won't do all those things. Oh yeah, we know about the pillars of the church, and they show up and they're always here and they're always doing what they're doing, and well, that's their calling. Let me tell you something. There none of us have any less of a calling than anybody else in this church. Our callings are to serve Jesus with all our heart, to love Jesus with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. He is the master. We are the servant. That's primary. And it's never, ever going to be different. And I'm great with that. I'm okay with that. Why are you okay with that? He's the best master there's ever been. No one's ever loved you like him.
Amen.
No one's ever cared for me like Jesus.
Come on now.
You bet the farm, I'm okay with that.
That's right. Come on.
And we all ought to be okay with that. Sometimes it's because you don't know him at all. Please let us help you fix that. Your family needs a good provider. And your family needs a good provider in all areas of life. And the question of the day is, are you willing to be one? That's it. All the resources are available. The same master is over every one of his servants. And it's not the master's lacking in some way that's causing all the discrepancies. It's us.